You are listening to a special report, Corona Pandemic, The Missing Defense. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, and our special guest is Steve Wilbur. He is the speaker, director of White Horse Media, and author of over 30 books, including End Time Health Wars. Welcome to our program, Steve.
Yes, thank you, Tom. I appreciate very much your having me as a guest.
You're very welcome. Let's talk about the coronavirus. Will you give us kind of an update? I know that you've been watching this very closely, and you posted a press release on this. Tell us about where we're at this moment.
Yes, well, one of the phenomena about this crisis is that what's happening this moment will change in the next moment, because it just seems like this thing is growing faster than anybody imagined. The state of California just issued a state of emergency, and that's my home state, with 53 cases confirmed. The Senate just passed an $8.3 billion coronavirus bill.
That's serious money.
That's big money. It now officially qualifies as a pandemic. I mean, first there's what's called an outbreak, which is what happened in Wuhan, China. And then as it grows, it's classified as an epidemic. And then if it gets big enough and grows internationally, then it becomes a pandemic. And that's basically what we're seeing. The latest statistics, at least from what I've heard today, is that there's somewhere around 80 countries that have people that are infected by this virus. In the United States, it's currently 13 states, but that's growing rapidly. Somewhere around 100 infections, 10 deaths. California is very concerned about this. New York, it's growing fast there. There's somewhere around 95,000 cases in the world, and somewhere around 3,000 people have died. And so it just seems like every time you turn on the news, or every time I pick up my cell phone and check my news app, it's just about the top story or next to it. And so everybody knows this whole corona panic and corona terror and people concerned about corona doomsday. This is something that's very real, and it's growing every day around the world.
So, Steve, what is the coronavirus?
Well, it's a virus. It's part of a family of viruses, and I'm not a doctor, but I've done a lot of research on this, and I've, of course, watching the news and also reading my Bible and doing as much research as I can. It's a virus that's similar to the flu, although they're saying that it's more deadly than the flu, although right now more people die of the flu than die of the coronavirus, because the flu is much bigger. But it's a respiratory disease that's highly contagious, and it can enter through your nose or your mouth or your eyes, especially if people cough on you or sneeze on you, or if they have it and if they're close to you. And so the fact that it's highly contagious and it's growing rapidly is just really, you know, causing a panic. We've seen recently the stock market has not taken this well. It's been going down rapidly. It's, you know, this bumps up and down, but it's taken a big hit, and people are concerned about ultimately the possibility of this affecting the global economy. So I'm not a prophet, and nobody really knows exactly how big this is going to get, but it's definitely one of the world's top stories, and something that, you know, we should all be thinking about and doing what we can to protect ourselves.
And we're going to talk about that later in the program, but tell us, what is the hype and what is the reality of the coronavirus?
Well, as I mentioned, the reality is how many people have been infected and how many people have died. And as we know, the numbers keep changing. I've read that somewhere between 2-3% of the people that are infected by this virus don't make it. They end up as a corona casualty. But obviously, with only 2-3%, there's still a whole lot of people that can survive this. And so, you know, that's part of the reality, but we don't know how big it's going to get. And I think as far as the hype goes, you know, the media is surely fueling the fire on this, because every time there's a new case or a new death in a certain state, you know, they're on top of this. And so the public is being fed on a regular basis. you know, the rising statistics, and a lot of people are scared.
Steve, we're going to be talking about how to protect ourselves from the coronavirus later in the program, but right now, many of our listeners have a Bible interest, and so does the Bible say something about the coronavirus?
Well, obviously, if you look in a concordance, you won't find that word. And really, as I mentioned, I'm not a physician. I'm a very health-conscious pastor, but my real field of expertise primarily is the Bible and Bible prophecy. I've heard some people wonder, could this be one of the plagues in the book of Revelation? My response is definitely not. The book of Revelation chapter 16 describes seven final plagues to fall upon the earth, and the first one comes on those that get the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast hasn't happened yet. White Horse Media, our ministry, has a lot of material on the mark of the beast. But the coronavirus, you know, obviously it's not the mark of the beast, and the mark hasn't come yet, so those final plagues have not fallen. So it's not one of those plagues. But there is a statement that Jesus made in Matthew chapter 24, which is one of his most well-known sermons on prophecy and the signs of the times going on throughout history and eventually, ultimately leading to the cataclysmic event of his return. And here in Matthew 24, verse 7, Jesus predicted that nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. And then he said, and pestilences. And the word pestilence basically means a disease. There will be diseases. And then he listed and earthquakes in diverse places. And so while this is not one of the final plagues, and nobody knows really how big this thing is going to get because there's a lot of unknowns, you know, those that are studying this in the medical community, they recognize that there's a lot we don't know still about this virus. But I think we can safely say that it is a pestilence. It is a disease. It's a virus. It's making people sick. And some people, it's killing them. And Jesus predicted that these kind of things would be happening in, he said, diverse places or various places around the world. And it certainly is, it's growing right now as we're doing this program.
Those sites that these are taking place in great number in China, many of us very seldom or have never heard of those provinces.
That's right, but now most people have heard of Wuhan. It's because it's been in the news over and over again that this is the place where it started, and they're saying that it started probably at an outdoor market, and possibly it started with bats, they're saying, or some of the animals that were in this market, and evidently the coronavirus then moved from an animal or a bat to a person. And then now it's spreading from person to person without the animals. And so it's very contagious. It's very real. You know, again, how big it's going to get, nobody knows. But there's some real important issues that people need to be looking at as we face this crisis.
Very good. And we're going to talk about that. Tell me, what do we do? I mean, I'm sure that is on the back of the mind or maybe even on the front of the minds of all of our listeners. What can we do to protect ourselves?
Right, that's a huge question. And I watched with interest just a few days ago, President Trump from the White House, he had a news conference and he was surrounded by CDC officials from the Centers of Disease Control. And the CDC mentioned a list of things that people need to be doing. They did mention the vaccine that they're saying is probably a year to 18 months away. So any hope of something like that coming soon is really not on the horizon.
So that's more of a solution for the next wave. It really is not going to help with this wave.
That's right. And the CDC has a page dealing with COVID-19, it says COVID-19 situation summary, and I'm on their page right now online.
So is COVID some sort of acronym?
Yes, for the coronavirus, from what I understand, COVID-19 actually has to do with the disease itself, whereas the coronavirus has to do with the virus itself. And so, but people use them interchangeably. And anyway, on the CDC's website, there's a whole section on prevention and treatment. And I have this right here in front of me, and I'll just read some of these bullet points that they mention. Avoid close contact with people that are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue, then throw the tissue in the trash. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects and surfaces using a regular household cleaning spray or wipe. And then they mention the importance of washing your hands often with soap and water, especially after going to the bathroom, before eating, after blowing your nose, coughing, or sneezing. And I've also heard major recommendations about how it's important to avoid crowds these days as much as possible, or international travel. And so anyway, you know, here's this list from the CDC, and I wouldn't discount any of those recommendations. I think they're all important, but there's more to this picture than covering your mouth when you cough, or you know, avoiding touching your eyes, nose, and mouth, and washing your hands.
You know, Steve, this sounds strangely familiar to standard flu treatment methods, avoidance.
Right. I think it is. I think it's a pretty mainstream list of recommendations. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this list, but it's what's not on the list that to me was most glaring when I listened to the news conference from the White House and I heard the CDC spokesman refer to these different things. And in my mind, as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking to myself, they've left out the most important preventative measure of all. It is strengthening your health and strengthening your body's immune system and your body's ability to fight disease.
I think we intuitively know that, but tell us in more depth why our overall health is important in defending from this disease.
Right. Well, when I've listened to the news reports and read online, I've read over and over again that those that end up as corona casualties in that 2-3%, those that die, most often are the elderly or people with chronic diseases or people who have weakened immune systems. And so to me, you know, the message is loud and clear through that if we want to avoid dying from something like this, obviously we don't want to catch it, and if we do catch it, we want to get over it. The key is to strengthen the immune system, to strengthen the body, to strengthen our health. And you know, I wish that the CDC spokesman or on their website, I wish they would have come out just straightforward and said, you know, to the American public and to the world at large, cut the sugar and avoid alcohol and tobacco and make sure that you get your exercise. Even walking is very good exercise, and that you drink enough water and that you have a good diet with full of loaded with vitamins and minerals and nutrients, that you get a good night's sleep, and that you do the basic things that science has proven again and again and again, that these are the things that really build up the body, strengthen our health, and strengthen our immune systems. But that message did not come through loud and clear when I watched the news conference. And in my book, End Times Health War, that you mentioned, I go right down through what we call the 8 laws of health that deals with these basic practical principles of you know, things that we can do every day to help strengthen our bodies and our immune systems.
You know, Steve, this sounds like something that Mom told us.
Yes. Yeah, Mom and Dad. And it's, you know, it's really, it's so basic. And it just reminds me of, I don't remember who said it, but I believe it was during the last election cycle when the candidates were contending in 2016. And one of them made a comment, kind of an off-the-cuff comment. And he said, it's the economy, stupid. In other words, you know, this is what people are really concerned about. And when we think about this whole topic of the coronavirus, you know, we could say it's our health, stupid, if we want to use that vernacular, you know, that kind of language. But really, that's what we're dealing with. It's really a matter of strengthening your health. And I think the whole coronavirus issue is an issue that speaks to us loud and clearly, all of us, that we need to take care of ourselves, we need to get strong, we need to do the right things, we need to drink enough water, we need to exercise, we need to eat a good diet, we need to avoid things that are harmful and be moderate in what we eat and get a good night's sleep and get proper sunlight. And, you know, all of these things are critical so that if this coronavirus continues to spread and if we can't avoid, you know, being infected by it, then at least our bodies will be able to get rid of it without it killing us.
Very simple things, but many times people don't follow the most simple things. So why don't you go through those lists with us just to refresh us, because we might have forgotten some of these details.
Sure. Well, the 8 laws of health that you and I are familiar with, one of the acronyms that I've heard over and over again, and it's based upon there's actually a program in Northern California put on by Weimar Institute, where I used to teach and I used to live there, been there many times. They have a program called New Start, and they've taken the word New Start and made it into an acronym for the 8 laws of health. The N in New Start refers to nutrition, and then the E is exercise, and then the first S is sunlight, and then the T is temperance, and then A is air, for getting fresh air, and then R is getting plenty of rest, like good sleep, enough hours of sleep, and then the last T has to do with trust in God, trusting in the Lord and in His love and in His power, His forgiveness, His grace, and His ability to take care of us no matter what happens. So New Start, the 8 laws of health, and this is really where the rubber meets the road. And that, again, that's what my book, End Times Health War, is all about, is dealing with the scientific support for those 8 laws of health and how they apply to us practically and how they are really weapons that we need in order to fight the end time health war against our bodies and against our health.
And I'm sure that people could look up on the internet and find Steve Wohlberg. Steve's last name is Wohlberg, Steve Wohlberg, and the book is End Time Health Wars. Another resource that you might look in a simplified form is from Weimar Institute. They have several, and you could look for these 8 laws of health.
One of those laws of health is nutrition. And I have done a lot of homework in this area, and I'm 60 years old. I have a wonderful wife. We live in North Idaho, and I have a 15-year-old son named Seth, and my daughter, our daughter is Abigail, and she's 12. And I'm extremely interested in continuing to be a healthy husband and father to my kids and continuing to be healthy for God.
So it sounds like you're living the dream, and you want everybody else to live the dream.
Well, I'm trying the best I can. I mean, the ultimate dream is going to be in the kingdom of God when Jesus comes. But while we're down here, we need to do the best that we can. And in all of my research into health, I've discovered that I don't think there is anything that you can eat on a regular basis that is more powerful and more nutritious and more immune system boosting than to grow your own and to grow simple sprouts, tiny sprouts from seeds, and microgreens. Microgreens are just sprouts, basically a little bit bigger, until they have leaves, and then you green them up from sunlight through the windowsill. And I've been sprouting, Tom, for over 40 years, and I've been through a lot of battles in my life. As I mentioned, I'm 60 years old, and I really believe that a lot of the health that I have right now and the ability of my body to weather the storms that I've been through is because I exercise regularly, I drink water, and I eat a lot of sprouts. I just today I had a massive, entirely live salad that was loaded with sunflower sprouts, sunflower greens that I just grew, and arugula greens and alfalfa, and I just, you know, packed them into this salad and added some avocado and a little bit of my wife's cashew cream dressing, and it was just delicious. And I've been eating sprouts just about every day these days, especially in the winter when my garden is now still under snow in North Idaho as we're recording this. And I really believe in this. They make me feel good. They're good for me. I've learned how to do it. And it's something that anybody could do, even if they don't have a land, you know, a lot of land, if they don't have a garden, if they don't have an orchard, even if they don't have a lot of space in their home, or if they don't have a green thumb. They can learn how to grow simple and extremely nutritious, mouth-watering sprouts and microgreens. And it only costs pennies a day. And it's just it's a great thing to do.
Tell us about those sprouts and microgreens. I have heard that there are some of the most nutritionally dense foods. Is that true?
Yes, it is. When a seed begins to sprout, scientific studies have demonstrated that the especially the vitamin content and the protein content, the amino acid content of these seeds just multiplies dramatically. And as they grow, they just become powerhouses of nutrition. And when they get into the microgreen stage, where they're just a little bit bigger than a sprout, and they start sprouting their first leaves, there is more nutrition in these small microgreens than in the full plant. So let's say you have broccoli sprouts, you're going to get a whole lot more nutrition from broccoli sprouts than from growing the full head of broccoli in your garden. And research has seen this over and over and over again. So nutritionists and those who are studying this, I mean, if you do Google it on the web, you'll find out that sprouts and microgreens are just they're just about the best thing you can put in your body. It's just incredible. And like I said, I've been doing it for 40 years, and I just love it.
You know, we can all be inspired by these things, but there's quite a distance between knowing to do the right thing and doing the right thing.
It's just something that I really like doing. I feel good about it because I'm helping people to learn about health. So I want people to know Jesus most importantly, and then to strengthen their bodies. And there's no better way to do it than having an indoor garden by growing your own sprouts and microgreens.
And they talk often about the time from harvest to plate, and when you grow it, it's minimal.
If you go to the average supermarket like Walmart, Supercenter, or you know, any market, and if you buy vegetables, you don't know how long it's been since those vegetables were harvested, and then they're transported, and then how long do they sit there in the produce section? And every day that these vegetables sit, they lose nutritional value. But when you grow your own, you could just, like today, I just took my scissors out and I cut a large swath of a big tray of sunflower greens and then my alfalfa and then my arugula, and it just went right into my salad. There was no transportation time other than just going through the air and going into my bowl. And it was quick and easy, and I got the full nutritional benefit of eating those sprouts and microgreens. And anybody can do that if they just know what to do. And I explain exactly what to do, where to get the seeds, where to get all the supplies from one fabulous company. And it's really simple, and it's a blessing.
What a privilege. I really enjoyed talking to you about this. We started out, our topic is the Corona Panic, the Missing Defense. And we're finishing the program with the defense, the 8 Laws of Health. And you have a book that's called The End Time Health War. And it's written by Steve Wohlberg, Wohlberg. Steve is the director, speaker of White Horse Media, and an author of over 30 books. Steve, thank you for being a part of this special report on the Corona Panic.
Thank you so much, Tom. God bless you and everyone that listens.